Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the HP Podcast, episode number 246. This is a show about video games from some of the most handsome people you've ever met. I'm Ben, and with me today is, well, only one of the most handsome people you've ever met. Brandon Duncan, the most glorious ginger. Hello, how are you?
I'm good today, Greetings. Ben. I'm real good.
Good.
Nothing too much exciting going on, just good.
Is it better to be... to have like something going on and it'd be like a fun, engaging time, or is it better just to like to be baseline?
Yeah, baseline probably. On. Too many exciting things can be bad. At least for me. I don't know about you.
I don't know. I kind of like the excitement. Because otherwise it's just like, this is my life. This is what the next hopefully the like 40 years
the grind. Are be. The wake up.
There's a reason they call it the grind, because it's the same thing all the time and it sucks. Nobody's ever referred to their life as the grind and that in a positive thing.
This live service game fucking sucks. I won my money back now.
Dude, the microtransactions have increased dramatically.
I don't even get good shit. It's like I just get like taxes and shit, you know.
When am I going to get a car?
Yeah.
For my
at least a cool skin.
Yeah. I would love cool skin, man.
Mine's so pale and repulsive. I've been waiting for that cool skin for a while now, but no such luck.
That's what happens. Yeah. Well, Dave is not with us right now. I mean, now that we're doing this live, it's a possibility he could pop in later. He, as we talked about last week, has a new baby in town. In his house, really, but I like to say in town. Makes it sound like it's more mature. And had to take doctor's appointments or I don't know, something. There was something going on. They were going to be out. So he said he wasn't sure exactly when he'd be back. But we're here for you with or without Dave. Dave said, screw the listeners. And I said, no, we're going to be there for him. At the time we said,
he wanted to be here. Really he for sure did.
Yeah. But if you want to hang out with Dave, you can do that. You can go over to our Discord and hang out with Dave on the Discord at handsomephantom.com/Discord. We appreciate you guys hanging out over there with us. It's nice to have some folks hanging around. And if you want to go above and beyond that, if you want to help support the show, you can do that over on patreon.com/handsomephantom. Really, honestly, like it's the least you could do. Actually, it's like one step more than the least you could do. $1 a month. If you listen on audio, it's ad-free early access. Every episode always, actually it's more like a day and a half if we're being real. I can sweeten this up. I can get down to the hour if that's really going to make the deal for you, but helps us pay for hosting services. We use StreamYard to do the show live, which by the way, we do the show live. You can join us over at youtube.com/BenIsHandsomeYT. If you have not done so already, we are live every Tuesday, 7 p.m. I think on Halloween. I'm probably going to take the kids trick-or-treating. I might be half an hour late. We might start the show off. I know that's going to disappoint some people, but maybe there's some other parents out there. Or maybe Brandon's going to go trick-or-treating. I don't know. Are you going to go trick-or-treating, Brandon?
I stopped going trick-or-treating when the people started shaming me for showing up at their door, so I haven't went since.
Wow. I can't believe you succumbed to the peer pressure, the ageism.
Yeah, I think if I walked up with this much facial hair to anybody's door, I might get a gun drawn on me instead of candy.
Remember for a long time, especially like in the 90s, there was this big thing like, people are putting drugs in your kid's candy. People are putting, you know, whatever. And it's like, dude, nobody's putting drugs in your kid's candy. That probably happened like one
drugs
time
are expensive.
Somewhere.
Do you think these so-called exactly. drug dealers would want to put their expensive product to your children? And I love these like satirical things where it's like, watch your kid's children. Oh my God. Watch your kid's candy. And then it's like a whole knife inside of a candy yeah. bar. So
I saw one the other day. It was like, watch out for Snickers bars. Somebody put David Bowie in a lot of them. It's just a picture of a Snickers bar, like with David
Bowie's
face on it. Yeah,
it's just scare tactics.
Yeah. I don't think that happens much, but hey, I mean, if your kid goes out and gets addicted to fentanyl,
somebody
don't blame
put
me for
razor
it.
Blades in this person's candy corn. Yeah, dude.
The chat says somebody put razor blades in my candy corn. I doubt that, Zoik. Okay. I doubt that. Candy corn is much too good to have razor blades put inside of it. Brandon, are you a candy corn enjoyer?
I'm a candy corn enthusiast, one might say.
Yeah, me too.
And
okay.
I think that the people that enjoy candy corn are too big-brained to do something as feeble mm-hmm. and shameful as putting razor blades in it. You ever sip lean? I'm just reading from chat now. Like this is Twitch. We got some unhinged commentary today.
Yeah, you can't really read anything the Real Radic says without first vetting it. But see, the candy corn enjoyers, we have too much of an uphill climb to get people to enjoy it to just be like potentially messing it up for people. But maybe that's why some people don't like it. Maybe they got razor blades in their candy corn as children and
yeah,
it's all
I
over from there.
That.
Yeah. Brandon, we have some video games to talk about. You want to cut it out
for
once?
Yeah, let's do it. Enough with the candy corn.
Let's talk about the new PS5. Sony has officially confirmed the existence of the PlayStation 5 Slim, set to release this holiday season. The redesigned PS5 offers 1 terabyte of storage for both the standard and the digital edition, a bump up from the original 825 gig. Now, Brandon, I don't know about you. I'll get to this. We'll get to this later, actually. Users of the PS5 Digital Edition can also add an Ultra HD Blu-ray disc drive later. The new PS5 is more compact, with a 30% reduction in volume and weight reductions of 18% and 24% compared to the previous models. It sports 4 separate cover panels with a glossy top and matte bottom. The Ultra HD Blu-ray disc drive can be purchased separately for $80. American, okay? None of this conversion crap. It will first be available in the U.S., as it should be. Just kidding.
Japanese really company. First availability in the U.S., obviously.
direct.playstation.com in November, followed by a global rollout. Once the current PS5 inventory is depleted, this new model will become the sole offering. The PS5 with Ultra HD Blu-ray disc drive, $499.99, and the PS5 Digital Edition, $449.99. Notably, the PS5 Digital Edition has increased in price compared to the original, from $399 to $449, making the disc drive version $50 more expensive. A horizontal stand is included, but a separate vertical stand compatible with all PS5 models will be sold for $29.99. Brandon, let's just go ahead and just tee off on this. I saw you out of the corner of my eye. I'm looking over here to notes. Out of the corner of my eye, I see you shaking your head.
So if you don't get the disc drive right away, you have to pay a premium. That seems a little funny. And also, I can't get over this little stand. Have you seen this little stand? Dude, it is the most pathetic thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Is it not? Would you agree with that?
It's
for $30?
Pathetic, yeah, what's the... I haven't had my PS5 any other way but vertical since I got it, but what's the situation with that? It's like you can change the it is, right? Like, you can take it off the bottom and put it on the other way.
That's actually how I have my PS5 now. No, I'm talking about, like, the little peg leg it comes with. Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay.
Yeah, I saw the one for the new one. I was just thinking about the old one.
It's like an interchangeable one where you have to essentially, like, slide a disc to make it sit right. But, yeah, I don't know. This is very strange. I don't know that I like the way the new one looks. I don't know that it's insanely different than the one that I currently have, the one with the disc drive. It just looks... It doesn't look very sleek. It kind of looks like they just put a blob on the side of the console. Obviously, the discless being the most seamless version of the console, but even the first gen looks a lot better than this one. Overall, not too much of an aesthetic change, I guess. The lines are still there, but Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about this whole removable disk drive. I was weary of this from the beginning. But
yeah,
I really think this is one step closer to absolutely destroying the entire physical market. So I'm not for this at all. I mean, this is the next step. And do you know what the very next step after this has been?
I'm afraid
not
to
even
find out,
offering a disk drive. That's what's next. That is really what we're working towards. And we're like, they think they're slick, but they're very, very slowly just forcing us to buy digital, which I guess we've talked about how that would probably be best for them in the long run. But I know many, mm-hmm. many people who are physical people, including myself. And this is a sad story overall.
Is this a case of them pushing digital more because they want digital more? Or is this a case of the market started to go more digital, so they just started beating into that?
Yeah.
Because obviously, like you said, it's better for the manufacturers and better for everybody. Except for the customer, to buy it digitally. Well, I say better than the customer. That's my perspective. It's financially better for everyone but the customer to buy it digitally.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's probably both. I feel like, sadly, we are in the minority as far as the general gamer of enjoying physical media. But, yeah, we're really not that far off. I mean, if there's going to be another refresh, I wouldn't be surprised if there's some sort of economic model that comes down the line at some point with no disk drive whatsoever, maybe slimmed down a little bit. There's really no incentive for someone who currently has a PlayStation 5 to upgrade to this at all. It's definitely not some sort of upward movement. It's definitely a lateral movement we have here. And so I guess this is just a further play to get rid of the old one. I mean, it even says it in the article here, that once they're done, they're done. But if I didn't have a PS5 right now, I would be rushing to get the last version of it and trying to not get this version.
To answer your question, or to discuss a question in chat, it's still free to lay her down, right? And Ethan Jory says, the little horizontal little pathetic stand comes with the console. The vertical stand is sold separately. Oh. So, yes, you can still lay it down on her side for free. You know, you don't get a pay extra for that, but if you want to stand it upright, yeah.
Yeah, it's laughable, honestly. I don't know.
Let's talk about the next piece. Just the storage. I mean, that's not a lot, but it's going from 825 gig to a terabyte, 175-ish. A little more than that gig extra. I'm still somebody who I play a game. Now, I'm not a primary PS5 user. Like, that's not my primary device to play games on. But if it were, I'm the type of player who plays one game, finishes it,
right,
deletes it, downloads a new game. Or maybe two. Maybe I have a live service. Maybe I have a mainline, you know, story game. But pretty much, like, the storage has never been an issue for me. But for you, I think you've had a couple times where you've been
it's literally totally full. Every time I get a new game. I don't know. The PlayStation 5 was my main console for years. And so that being said, I filled it up. And every time you get a trophy, you get a screenshot. And every time you get a trophy, you get a little video clip. And I know I can turn that off, but I actually rather enjoy that feature. Yeah. So between that...
Yeah.
I'll do it all the time.
You ever go back and watch them?
Yeah. When I'm playing a game, I'm going back through all of my achievements after I'm done and just looking at the screen grabs, because some of them are so cool. I mean, occasionally you get a black screen, occasionally, but some of them are really memorable. Yeah. Or are like me dying, which is really funny, in the middle of the achievement or something.
Most of my media, because I have all that stuff turned off because I'm never going to look at it. Most of mine are times I accidentally hit the share button and it recorded something.
Ethan down in chats, you know, brings up a good thing, though. And something I was going to say is that every single game, especially live service games, not even live service games, I mean, games like Gran Turismo, I have probably two or three games alone that I really don't want to delete off my console that can take up like 400 to 500 gigabytes alone, probably in the four range, because
400.
I mean, I mean, like when you get multiple games, they're like 100 and 120 gigabytes a piece.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So like things that I haven't stopped playing yet that I just don't want to delete off my console. And something like GT where I keep coming back and I'm playing with my buddies and I just, I'm going to talk about it later, but like Destiny 2 is that much. Call of Duty is that much. I would imagine Apex is getting up there now. It's just... Everything seems to be over 100 gigabytes. In Mortal Kombat, I just had to delete that off my console because it was over 100 as well. So stuff that you wouldn't even assume would be that much has ended up being that much time and time again. It seems to almost be the new norm, and it's like a breath of fresh air when I get to download a game and it's 70 gigabytes, which at one point I thought was pretty big. So...
It still is pretty big.
Yeah, I mean, I have had a lot of issues, so I guess this will help. It is kind of a nominal bump. I don't think this will make most people jump at the offer to get the Slim.
Sure. Well, not just for that. It's way cheaper to
buy just a hard drive for affordable, and with how affordable storage is nowadays, it just doesn't... It wouldn't make sense, but I certainly have had a lot of issues with storage in the past on my PlayStation 5. For sure. It's one of the biggest issues, to be honest with you. I regret it every single time I pop in a disc because I'm like, what am I deleting?
you know, like what am I
deleting this time? And it seems ridiculous, but it really is the big ticket items. Like I can keep a bunch of small games on my PlayStation, and I always do. Like Deep Rock Galactic, perfect. I keep it on there. It's like 2 or 3 gigabytes, something like that. But those are outliers. So,
yeah. The new PS5 is more compact with a 30% reduction in volume and weight. Brandon, I saw a... Now, I'm going to try a new feature. I've never tried this feature on this software. I'm going to try to share my screen.
Close out your smut.
Let's see. Yeah, all my smut that I definitely just keep up on my heart, on my monitor while I'm podcasting.
I thought that was just me.
Can I share it? I'm sharing it. Am I sharing it? Nope, that wasn't it. Okay, maybe I don't know. Oh, here we go. Here we go.
We have the technology. There we go.
Okay. This is a visual representation by, I don't know if Miguel did this or not, but he's a guy at Elgato. This is the size comparison of the new PlayStation 5 compared to the old PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
Quite nice. Significant. In my opinion. It's still a little bit weird looking, but it's a significant size difference.
Am I wrong in saying that the size and girth of the original one was kind of a draw to it? When it's standing up and you literally have this Tower of Sauron looking over your entertainment stand, like, don't get me wrong, it is big. It's probably too big. This is way more reasonable. But, man, it's just, it's cool. And fucking look, now that you have it on the screen, look how ugly that is. See how much more seamlessly it fits into the other design? I don't know why they had to make it so... Maybe because it is...
They took away all her curves, man.
I know, dude. She's just all lumpy. And does that... And am I wrong here? Is that a physical button? What is that at the bottom of the disc tray?
Down here where my mouse is. I know this is hard for the audio listeners, but... that does appear to be a physical button, but it may not be.
But, I don't know. It doesn't look awful, and the line down the side does make it visually slightly more interesting, but I don't know that anyone's going to argue with me, but the old one just simply looks better. The only thing the new one's got going for it is the size. And size isn't everything, you know?
Especially when... I've always been somebody who, like, I get a new console, I put it, and I play it. I don't really look at it. It is nice to like the way it looks, but that's not that important to me. But it is nice that it's smaller. Could definitely be good for some under-entertainment systems where I know that a lot of people were like, this thing won't, standing upright, won't fit in my entertainment system. So, yeah. Zoik, before we move on, says, guessing custom plates won't work on the new system. That would be my guess. Or current plates. He didn't say custom plates.
The significant size difference. And, you know, you bring up a good point that they're selling these plates. And I'm not saying that, you know, it's their fault for selling them when they sold them. But there's going to be an entire market of plates out there that are not sold that are going to be for a non-main SKU now, right? Mm-hmm. I would imagine they would pivot and start to sell the new one, but for a while, that's going to be really confusing for people, especially people that aren't in the know. I mean, you know, if you get the new PS5, would you even know that the old PS5 was this big? Most consumers, probably not.
No, because I think, like, yeah, like when we got the PS2 Slim, remember how tiny that thing was compared to the Shocker? Well, the PS3 was even more so. So, yeah, it's another one of those instances, like when everybody makes fun of the Xbox One, the Xbox Series, the Xbox whatever, there's 1,000 different names and they're hard to tell the difference. When your grandma goes to buy you something for Christmas and she's like, he wants that Spider-Man plate. Like, okay, well, which one?
Yeah.
There's four versions of the console. So, Brandon, let's talk pricing for a minute. Actually, let's talk the disk drive. We talked about this slightly. $79.99 if you want a disk drive after you've already bought the digital edition. Now, I know that Real Radic earlier said that we were, I don't know, he called us old or something for still liking physical games. And I'm okay. You know, whatever. Call me whatever you want. I'll buy a digital game if I have to. We both bought Hogwarts this year digitally because we couldn't find it physically. That's fine. I bought it. But most of the time I want physical. Anyway, if you decide later on, you're getting punished. You got to pay $20 more than you would have had to pay for the physical version to get this detachable drive. And then the rest of the pricing is also, it's $4.99 with the disc drive, which is, wasn't the PS5 at $550 for a while?
Someone earlier was saying it was $400, but I don't remember that. It's been years.
Well, that's the digital edition. Yeah. Yeah, they were $500, and I think they did a small price increase to $550 a little while back. Maybe they brought it back down at some point. But yeah, I don't know. Just all the thoughts on pricing.
Yeah, I mean, I said it towards the beginning, but I just don't like the idea of components costing less when you buy in right away. I feel like they have to be the same price. I mean, you know, now that I'm saying that, I guess I'm going to double back on that because it's possible that they're taking a slight loss if you buy with the disk drive. Do you think that's a possibility, is that they're not really trying to upsell you here? It does just cost $80, but if you buy the one with the disc, they're giving you it to you on a price cut, maybe? Because they do that sometimes. I mean, a lot of consoles sell at a loss.
Yeah. I don't think that's been true this generation. I think that the PS5, somebody did a breakdown, and it was like... they made $20 on them or something. I'm sure after 3 years and a new refresh, they've probably already got that cost down even further. So I kind of doubt it, but it's a viable theory.
Yeah. I don't know. This doesn't really do it for me. overall, I mean, I guess the price is fair. It's not some astronomical amount more for the disk drive. But the only real thing this has going for it is that it's slightly smaller, which is a nominal addition, if you ask me. The biggest standout is the memory. And even at that, it's a, once again, nominal change. I mean, you're not really gaining that much memory. And what was it, up 250 gigabytes? What did you say it was?
It's like 175. Technically a terabyte's.
So literally live service game. You get extra. So...
But I mean, that is they're not charging more for the extra memory, right? They're charging the same amount. And by the way, Ed in chat says that they raised it to $550 or more, I would assume, in every region but the U.S. So they did not raise it in the U.S. And these are U.S. prices we're looking at. So that answers that question. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously, we knew they were going to do a refresh of some sort. This is not something that you or I are probably interested in because we have PS5s right now. Potentially we're going to see a PS5 Pro next year. Maybe I'll be into that. Maybe I'm not.
Dude, I don't know. Because after the Xbox leaks, I mean, we saw that it seemed like Xbox was doing a lateral movement as well. So are these consoles now powerful enough that they feel like they don't need to resell you a more powerful console? Is that where we're at?
They will take the money.
You're
when
probably right.
They definitely will. Yeah. No, I imagine whatever the new console ends up being, it's going to be something along the lines of, you know, it never has to do any loading. It never misses any frames. There's no such thing as a need for a performance mode, et cetera, et cetera. That's my guess. I have no idea.
With all these optimized games coming out, Ben, I can't wait for that exact thing you described, dude.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah, that'll definitely happen.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's about all we have to say on that. That's, yeah. Obviously, we knew they were going to do a refresh, and fine. It's fine. It's just kind of, in my opinion, I don't really care how it looks. I don't care, whatever, as long as it functions the same, but the slim cost of more kind of sucks, in my opinion. That definitely kind of sucks. Before, let's see, comments here. Will the PS5 Pro disc tray be detachable or built in?
It's detachable.
That's a really good... No, the PS5 the Pro he's talking about. It's not out yet. Like, we don't... It might not even be designed yet for all
I mean, I would assume moving forward, this would be the status quo. If they're setting this now, I wouldn't be surprised. Unless for some reason this fails miserably and there's like disk drive failures left and right or something like that. I would imagine that this is going to be a strategy that we see moving forward.
You know, Brandon, that makes me think. We were talking about, are they trying to push us towards digital?
Dude, they
are.
Which
if they are, it's their prerogative. They might be, but did that change during this generation? Because remember at the beginning of the generation, it was way, way easier. They made more to get your hands on a disk drive PS5 than it was to get your hands on a digital one.
You're saying it was more difficult to get the one with a disk drive? Or it was easier?
No, it was easier. Like, yeah, there were more of them available. So I wonder if that philosophy changed at some point this generation. Yeah. Especially because that was during COVID and
I don't know
everything.
I think that also the rise of people like realizing how much these subscription services sometimes cost and then looking at their game library and when they do cancel this subscription inevitably and saying, wow, I really don't actually have very many games because all of my games, I need a subscription service to play. I mean, maybe there's something to that. Ultimately, I think what we said towards the beginning of the show that digital is probably king. And we are ultimately in the back of the pack, so to speak.
We're dinosaurs. No doubt.
But it's just kind of sad to see. I would imagine that physical is still fairly strong. I mean, we read those UK numbers a couple weeks ago, and it was daunting how much higher the digital sales were than the physical sales. But I would be very interested to see those stats for the U.S.
Let's see. There's a train coming through. So I'm going to let you read the next one, Brandon, if you're willing to. Okay.
Next, the Unity CEO, John Riccitiello, has suddenly retired, effective immediately. Stepping down from all his roles at the company, the decision comes after Unity faced significant backlash due to its new runtime fee, which we talked about for the past couple weeks, pricing model. Which was met with widespread criticism, as we talked about. James, an advisor at Silver Lake, which owns 9% of Unity, will serve as an interim CEO while a permanent replacement is sought. The retirement did not receive... What did it say? The retirement announcement did not receive the recent pricing model controversy. So,
I wrote reference, but yeah, it's small print on your screen.
I got it tiny.
Now,
so.
Yeah, I hear Jim Ryan's available.
I was going to say, his time just got freed up. I think he's probably already on a golf course. Mm-hmm. I know he's not leaving until 2024, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's kicking it a little early. So we're close enough, but this is some interesting news to come off the heels of what we've been talking about here for a couple weeks. We keep seeing these things in the gaming industry where, studios get shut down, people get laid off, and we keep seeing this phrasing happening over and over again in a negative connotation, effective immediately. What is happening in the gaming industry that these huge changes are happening immediately? Some stuff is shaken up this year, Ben, and I'm not necessarily surprised by this. I guess this is them trying to save some face, potentially, or John trying to save some face. But, I mean, the damage has kind of already been done, and I would imagine he was certainly a driving force, but I don't think he was the one pulling all the shots here, so.
Well, I think he sold a bunch of his shares right before the announcement about the runtime
fee.
And
I bitched you.
But also, there is an instance a lot of times where people will make the decision internally. Like they'll talk about it, they'll know about it, they'll give their 2 weeks or month notice or whatever, and not announce that publicly because it can affect share prices, or, you know, competition or whatever. So that may have been part of it, but yeah, definitely. You're right. There have been a lot of effective.
Dude, that's what I'm saying is that like all of this shit in the gaming industry, like we talked about jobs, right? We've been talking a lot about people losing their jobs, but now we're talking about CEOs losing their jobs. And, you know, we talked about Jim Ryan. He didn't lose his job. He retired. And, you know, however you want to frame this for this Unity guy, I mean, he's framing it as a retirement as well. But, you know, let's be real. He retired, right? You know, like gracefully stepped down. It wasn't like the board came to him and said, here is your severance package. You can either retire now with this much amount of money that sounds really enticing, or you can stay on and it will probably be in some way hell. So, yeah, it's just, it's a crazy time. I mean, 2023 has been one of the biggest years in gaming in a very long time, for many reasons. I'm not just talking about games. I'm talking about stuff like this. The industry just keeps getting shaken up every single day. And we cannot understate here how big Unity is in that sphere. I mean, I know we've talked about it a bunch, but some of the biggest games that everybody knows are in Unity and don't even realize it. So,
yeah.
Certainly interesting times.
MBLEX Test Prep says, I love this podcast. Effective immediately.
Appreciate.
We appreciate that.
Appreciate it.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Nintendo has announced that it will discontinue online services for the 3DS and the Wii U within the next 6 months. While the company states that online play and related features will cease in early April, it also mentions the possibility of discontinuing services earlier if certain events occur. Although the 3DS and Wii U update data and purchased digital games will remain downloadable after online play shutdown, Nintendo has indicated that these services are also planned to be discontinued in the future. Online Pokemon Bank and Poke Transporter services will continue for now, but may end at some point. However, 3DS owners will still be able to use Street Pass mode for local multiplayer games. Brandon, I know you were a gigantic fan of the Wii U.
Oh, buddy.
No, but dude, the 3DS especially is still very much used. At least when I see people out in the wild, I see 3DS.
Absolutely
still.
Fuck the Wii U from this conversation. The only real tragedy of all of this is the 3DS. How many iterations of this console have been given legs and spread out into the universe? And we've talked about the numbers. The numbers on 3DS alone are...
What did you say about spreading out
legs?
You
already know what it is, Ben. In 3D. Okay. But the amount of 3DSs out there is massive. I cannot understate it. Look them up. The amount of 3DSs is huge. The fact that 3DS would be lumped into this Wii U tragedy is very sad to me. And things like Pokemon, the older Pokemon games, I have a couple of them myself, so I have a 3DS. And the fact that, you know, I don't know, are they letting the Switch completely overshadow this at this point? Have the numbers gone significantly down? I can't imagine that there's not still a ton of people, I don't know if they're buying, but they're playing their 3DSs, and they would potentially buy something in the future. I don't get this, Ben. What are your thoughts? I don't know if you have a 3DS. Do you?
I do have a 3DS. I have a 3DS XL. It is the Zelda Triforce edition. I recently saw it. Actually, at that show we went to a couple weeks ago, I saw it for like
$450
used without the manuals. And I'm like, I got the box and the manuals in mint condition.
Dude,
but I ain't
close down
it.
The shops. Ben, sell that shit. No, I'm just kidding.
No way, man.
I know. I'm just playing.
I love that thing. Dude, that thing, it was in a price error at Walmart in their like print thing. And I saw it online somewhere. And I went to like three different Walmarts to buy them.
Dude, I remember you doing this.
And then I...
Yeah.
No, really? This was before you knew me. Yeah, this is before you knew me. This was when I still... This is close to 10 years ago. And I went and bought one and got it for like $110. And then I bought two more of them and sold them for list price, like what they were supposed to sell for. And didn't... Like, I got mine for free, essentially. I wasn't even price gouging. I was just like reselling them. So anyway, I have a 3DS. And my 8-year-old recently, as a gift from grandma, just got a 3DS because she found it for a great price at a yard sale. I was like, I wish I'd found that. But the man, the 3DS was such a good machine. I was actually at the reveal event for it. Not at the reveal event, at the first public event there where you could touch it. It was at PAX East 2011, I want to say. And I was like, I was in line to play the 3DS when they first had announced it. It was so good. And it's funny because I have a bunch of digital games on that, because that was in the time when I was like buying and reselling stuff. And a lot of games would come with the cart, and then they would also come with a code for the 3D version. And so I would redeem the 3D version and I would sell the 2D, the regular DS version. Now I regret that because it's Nintendo, I can't just sign into my account on my son's new 3DS and let him play my games. Like he has to either use mine or not play them because they're digital. That's one of the downfalls of digital, although that's been done away with almost everybody except for Nintendo. Pretty much everybody else lets you share between consoles. But yeah, I get it. You can't expect these things to last forever. But if we're going to move to a more digital future... I'm just afraid of what this means. Not who cares about the Wii U,
dude,
right?
That's...
and to an extent, let's who cares about the 3DS? But like, what about when they shut down PS4 servers? They tried to shut down PS3 a couple years ago.
It's very, very grim times we live in, especially as we move towards a more digital, medium. Is that these things really don't last as long as they should? And I get these things are expensive, but we know Nintendo isn't hurting by any stretch of the imagination. And maybe it's just my nostalgia kicking in. Maybe it's just me not realizing how much time has passed since I played my 3DS or bought new games on my 3DS. But it really, in reality, does not feel like it should be going away quite yet. Get rid of the Wii U if you want. Fine. We all know how much of a commercial success that was, right? But... the 3DS, I feel like, is in a different league from the Wii U. And once again, I said it again, I'll say it again. I don't know why these two of all the ones are the ones going together. I would have loved to see the Wii U go now and the 3DS go in a couple years. But I don't know, Ben. It's sad.
Ed Walton in chat makes a good point. He says, and this is a conspiracy theory, but that's one I think I agree with. Drop the 3DS store so you can have a reason to add a 3DS expansion pass to Nintendo Online for the Switch successor. I think that's a viable viable
thought
process.
You know they're not
going to
do that, though. What Nintendo does better than anybody else is they take an opportunity to make millions of dollars, and they just completely shit all over it. They're like, you want to play Pokemon Red? Well, I hope you have the original cartridge on the original hardware. It's going to be the same thing with the 3DS. I just know it. They'll give you a couple games, and then they'll lock the other ones behind something, and then they'll remaster them in 2 years and put them on Switch 2. It's just they want you to pay $60 for it, and that's incredibly clear. Radix says, it's easy enough to hack these things and to get every game you ever wanted on all of them. And although that may be true, I think it's a really sad time to be a game preservist and live in this time where that is the best way to play old games, is you have to do something that is morally questionable with some of these companies to be able to enjoy the software that should be available to us. even if it was at a premium. And that's the saddest part, is a lot of people would be willing to pay for these things at premium, but they leave us no choice. We've talked many times about dead games, yeah, and a lot of these companies are making them left and right. It happens every single month we talk about another game. Nintendo might be one of the worst offenders of this. So
Nintendo is the worst offender.
I'm glad you said it.
There are other companies, like, you know, there are plenty of franchises and games stranded on old hardware. But for the most part, like, I think at least this generation, Xbox and PlayStation have both made tremendous efforts to bring a lot of those games forward. They've still got a long way to go, but they certainly have done more than they've done in past generations. And of course, on PC, you can play anything ever made pretty much. If you might have to steal it, but you can play it. And he's right. But like, whenever I realize that the games I already own on my console can't be put on my son's console unless I delete my profile off mine, my 3DS, and put it on his, I was like, okay, well, let me see if I can just hack this. I'll install those games that I have. Like, I don't have a problem. I really don't have too much of a problem with pirating dead games, like the games that can't be bought. But still, all I was saying was, I'm going to put the games I already own
right
on his console.
And we would never do that.
And you can't.
We would never do that on a Nintendo console. Anyone listening from Nintendo, we would never do that on a Nintendo console. We wouldn't even think about it.
No, we wouldn't even entertain it in chat, for sure. But basically, like, when I had set it up for him, it was on too new of a hardware, or a firmware. And there are ways around it, but not without, like, incredibly, incredibly complicated things. So, yeah, it sucks. Oh, I didn't realize this. Ed in chat says the 3DS and the Wii U shared a network. I actually did think, now that I think about that, did realize that. So the Nintendo thing is obviously get rid of all of it. And he's probably right
there. Yeah, there would be absolutely no way to just discontinue the service for one console and not the other. I'm sure that would be actually impossible.
Number four, CD Projekt spent a total of $125.9 million on Cyberpunk 2077 post-launch efforts, including updates, expansions, and marketing. Probably like 75% of that was marketing, but the game itself initially cost $316 million to develop. Despite the substantial investment, CD Projekt managed to turn the game's fortunes around, earning a very positive rating on Steam, with 87% of users recommending it following its troubled launch. Brandon, I don't know if this is in your What We've Been Playing list, but have you jumped back into Cyberpunk?
No, I have not. Updates? I have been watching this game very carefully, and I unfortunately have not. I really want to finish Baldur's Gate before I do this, because they're not at all similar, but they're both very large, very in-depth, very story-heavy RPGs. And I just feel like, for my own sanity, I need to finish one before I start another. I could pick up like two or three games. I've been talking about that a lot, how I'm doing these smaller things. But those big of games, I feel like I need to use all of my attention on one of that type of game at once. I know they're not the same type of game, I get that, but I think you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do. The fact that they're large and engrossing is very similar. But anyway, Cyberpunk, I mean, they really have turned it around. I still don't excuse them for pulling the wool over people's eyes and putting out the game in the way they did, but at least they made it right. Like, I'm scared of adopting that philosophy, because I think eventually we'll start to have that philosophy with everybody. Like, oh yeah, it was bad at launch, but 6 months later it was really good. I don't want that. That's not what I want. But with that said, they turned it around.
They definitely turned it around. Once again, I don't want to fall into this trap of just excusing things that were incredibly bad, because how many months did we talk about the absolute fucking train wreck? We got the yellow card time and time and time again. It became a meme, the yellow card on Twitter. But that being said, CD Projekt Red, I've talked favorably about them on podcast networks for years now. And I'm really glad to see that they kind of got themselves pointed in the right direction. It did cost a lot of money, and it probably hurt them significantly in the long run. But I think of the available timelines, this is probably the best one for them, especially moving forward to their next games. Not having a sour taste in your mouth, because gamers' memories are like that big. They're like itty bitty. But Yeah, I'm really glad they turned this around. I do want to check it out. I saw stock prices were like incredibly down for a long time. They really were hurting because of all of this. I don't want gamers to think that it's for nothing. I mean, they did sell a large amount of copies, but it did...
They were profitable before it launched.
It did hurt them quite a bit, value-wise. So, glad to see it's turned around. And someone in chat said... Cyberpunk doesn't have Judy, and you are correct, but Baldur's Gate,
they said Baldur's Gate doesn't have Judy, but Baldur's Gate
does have a bunch of other bays, so that's okay too.
That's true.
But it's really interesting to see this kind of turnaround happen, and I feel like it takes a very persistent and special kind of concentration from a company to do this. I think most companies are not capable. Things like No Man's Sky, things like Cyberpunk are outliers. Most companies try to turn their games around from a bad launch and fail miserably and oftentimes go bankrupt for it. So I feel like this sort of thing should be celebrated in a way, but let's not forget how things started. So I guess it's kind of a sour and sweet type of moment. And that can be good.
Yeah. Agreed. Sweet and sour all the way. Brandon, this is going to be maybe your favorite topic.
Dude, I know. I instantly put this in the Discord for Dave so he can revel in it.
Redfall is receiving a major update that includes a long-awaited 60 frames per second mode on Xbox Series X and S, gameplay improvements, bug fixes, and accessibility features. This update aims to address some of the criticisms and issues that plagued the game following its disappointing launch. Despite its rocky start, Microsoft plans to continue supporting Redfall with the hope that ongoing updates will improve the player experience over time. Brandon, the game, maybe it's going to be technically better. Is it still going to be boring as hell?
I read all the patch notes, and I know we don't have them here, but they did do a lot of other changes, like enemy density, like enemies being fucking stupid, like stuff that some of the very large criticisms that we did have about this game, it seems like they took them in stride, and I guess that's a good thing. I will say that it's been radio silent for months now, and it did take them months and months, most of the year, to do something that very, very easily should have been completed at launch. But once again, I guess this is another good turnaround. And whether or not this is going to save a game like Redfall, I think... Unlike Cyberpunk, most of the damage has been done to Redfall. If you want my honest opinion, I don't think it will ever be as hyped as it was at launch, no matter how many people talk about it, because I think it was bad enough. No, Cyberpunk was bad enough too. I don't know. I just don't think that Redfall is going to bounce back. I really don't. I'm not saying that people won't buy it and people won't play it and that the update will help quite a bit. But I don't think they're going to be able to regain momentum like we've seen games like Cyberpunk kind of regain momentum after righting some wrongs.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't know if it's an interesting enough game. Like, I do see the potential there. That's one of the things we said, too, when it came out, was that we were super disappointed in it, but we could see the potential. We could see the good ideas. We could understand why it could be a fun game. What they saw, what the developers, you know, or at least the people who came up with the idea saw. But I just don't know if it had enough of that to draw me back in. Even if it's perfectly flawless now, I just don't know if it, like, the game concept itself, I just don't know if it's there for me.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm with you, and I'm glad to see that they at least made their game passable to some sort of standard. I will say again that it did take the better part of a year, and I think it was really unfortunate in the way they did it. They were incredibly quiet up until this point, and I don't know which one's better or worse, just like not saying anything for a long time and then dropping something that fixes a lot, or breadcrumbing it along the way and at least updating your fan base. Because, you know, don't get me wrong, none of us on this network, including Dave, enjoyed Redfall. We were very disappointed by Redfall. I think Dave was the most disappointed by Redfall. He had incredibly high hopes for Redfall. That being said, I just don't know that this is going to be enough. I really don't.
Trash in chat says Redfall had three players the other day. Doubtful anyone even played this fix. I assume that's Steam charts. And yeah, there probably weren't many people who returned. I did see some good chatter about it. Well, good and bad chatter about it on Twitter. But
also,
you know, that's Twitter.
I don't think Steam charts is the best metric for a game like this. Specifically
not,
this.
Just because yeah,
specifically
it's on Game Pass.
This. But
yeah. I mean, it is and it isn't, because you can assume that there are more people playing on Game Pass than there would be on Steam, but like, yeah, it's questionable for sure. And then Astro Parrot King says, I don't think it'll have a comeback like Cyberpunk, but maybe after a few updates, but it'll never be as good as it could have been. And that's totally true. I don't think Cyberpunk was bad, but it was good enough to get you to want it to be good. Redfall was bad, and it wasn't good enough to get me to want it to be fixed.
Right.
Like, to care
that's
if it's
the difference.
Fixed or not.
And
so,
you know, as a little bit of a sidestep, I can't wait. Well, no, I'm not going to say this. Poor Dave. I don't want to say I can't wait till Dave fails, but I want to see what he thinks about the series. Because it says here, 60 frames per second mode on both Series X and S. I remember seeing videos. I remember Dave talking about how poorly it looked on Series S without it even hitting 30 most of the time. How is it going to look at 60? The fidelity has to be through the shitter. I mean, we're talking, you know, pre-PS4 type of fidelity here or something. I mean, I'd really be interested, but maybe our boys over at Digital Foundry, I say that as if I know them, maybe our boys over at Digital Foundry will do a nice little video for me that I can check out. So,
yeah, I don't know if they'll spend their time on it or not. Quite
You're
frankly.
Probably right.
Brandon, this one, I figured you'd be really interested because I know you've been waiting to dive back in.
Some more news about shit that should have been at launch. Go ahead.
Whatever. Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Bethesda has released update 1.7.36 for Starfield, which includes improvements to the game's field of view settings, stability enhancements for Intel Arc GPUs on PC, and various other performance improvements. This update aims to address player feedback and enhance the overall gaming experience for Starfield players. Bethesda has expressed its gratitude for the ongoing support and feedback from the player community. Now, Brandon, this is a game that has maintained a large player base, but one of those players is not you. Will the FOV slider be enough to bring you back?
I already redownloaded it. No, I didn't. Wow. No, I didn't. I'm just kidding. I actually just deleted it. Actually, right before the show, I needed space for a far superior game, Forza Motorsport, that came out today. I deleted Starfield. Mm-hmm. Although, do I still have it downloaded on my PC? I had it downloaded two places, which was just didn't even make any sense. But,
it's crossplay, so cross-save, whatever.
Yeah, I guess, man. Is this super sad to see? Here, wait, let's look. Number 6, number 5, number 4. We have 3 news items in a row of games being updated that were previously lackluster in some way or had lackluster features that we're now talking about them and celebrating as if this is a good thing. This is the world we live in now, is it not, Ben? It is great to be a gamer.
It is indeed.
Field of View has been something that is pretty synonymous and pretty sought after in the first-person shooter genre and has been now for a couple years, especially on PC and on console. It took a while to get it on console, but most people followed suit and had something. Even a game like Deep Rock Galactic as a field of view slider. I guess this is good. I would be interested to see how they continue to support this game. I don't see stability. That's good. I know they're continuing to mess around with that. Did I see some rumblings about them maybe adding DLSS to the game? Did I see something about that, or was that rumors?
I think you did, but I don't remember what the specifics were.
I'm still waiting for the long anticipated brightness slider to be added to Starfield. The most sought after feature since the beginning of time, a way to, correct the brightness balance in your game.
It's funny because there are a lot of issues with the game, don't get me wrong, but as far as technical stuff on PC, I never had any issues. Occasionally, I would drop down to like high 40s for frame rate, But when I did, it was still a stable 40. If I jumped back up to 80, it was a stable 80. It wasn't like, you know, I was going to get motion sickness or anything. So I appreciated that. But yeah, some of the stuff that they didn't have, like the FOV slider, I get it. They probably needed to do some more refining for the Xbox consoles, maybe specifically just Series S. But why wasn't it on Series X, or why wasn't it on PC or whatever? So that's a weird one for me. And Edward Walton here, based on what you just said, Brandon, says AMD said they were not blocking DLSS implementation with their partnership to get off the heat, to get the heat off their own back. Because a lot of people thought that AMD had struck some sort of deal to prevent DLSS. So that's good. But yeah, the game overall, I know that there are a lot of complaints and stuff, but I really had a good time with it. I think I spent 55, 60 hours, and I'm not done. I mean, I finished one playthrough, but I'll go back, obviously, and play through the New Game Plus at some point when there's not so much else out there. But this is good to see that they're going to support it. And I think they said they were planning on supporting it for 5 years, which
I wouldn't be surprised if we continue to see more good improvements. But and I do poke fun at this game, but I'm not one of the naysayers. Like, I do think that this is overall a really good game. It's just not the kind of game I like, and there's some glaring things about it that I've expressed before that really give me pause, and, you know, kind of completely and utterly break my immersion every single moment of I'm playing the game. But yeah, I mean, good on Microsoft. They're going to have to support this because this is the biggest thing they've got going for them in a while.
Xbox has no games.
You know, first Redfall, now this. Xbox is back, baby.
We're back. Brandon, you sent this one to me. X-Defiant has been delayed indefinitely. Ubisoft's shooter. Let's see here. Ubisoft, and I'm reading this directly from GameSpot. The rest of them I've like taken and written out. This one I didn't have time. Ubisoft's FPS X-Defiant has already had a challenging road to release, and now the game is facing another setback. The development team has confirmed that X-Defiant is now delayed indefinitely. Following another round of public testing, Ubisoft discovered some inconsistencies in the game experience that need to be addressed before launch. As a result, Ubisoft has delayed the game's launch indefinitely. Quote, the team will continue working to address these issues and testing them to make sure we deliver on our goal of being a best-in-class arcade shooter. Executive producer Mark Rubin, who previously held that role on a number of Call of Duty games, released a statement about this as well. He said the team has found, quote, some things, quote, that made the company decide it needed extra time to fix or improve the experience for everyone. Brandon, I wasn't very into X-Defiant. I felt like the sweats were out too heavily for me already, because I'm just not as good as I used to be. I've lost a step or two, but you seem to enjoy it a little more.
You know, don't get me wrong. I talked about it before. I feel like it is a lot more of the same. I mean, it took a lot of cues from Call of Duty. Some of the best and worst parts about the game, I feel like it implemented pretty well. And I just find it very interesting that I guess not that this game is delayed, but that it's delayed indefinitely.
I think that just means they don't want to announce a new release date for it.
Yeah, I mean, I get that.
Yeah.
But when you're that vague about the delay, and you're that vague about the reasons for delaying it, what am I supposed to assume
here? What do you mean vague? He said there were some things. Okay.
Inconsistencies. Yeah. Yeah, I know exactly what that means. And, you know, we played the beta for this. And, you know, I don't want to say that it was perfect. And I don't know that it would be something that I would play all the time. But it seemed pretty feature ready. I don't want to say it was gold, but... Yeah. It didn't seem that far off. Like, I assumed we would be getting it this year. And it...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they did, too.
And it really doesn't seem like that's kind of the case. So, just really strange. And I wanted to briefly talk about it because we've talked about it probably 3 or 4 times over the course of this year. And for it to get kind of put to the back burner kind of until further notice is definitely strange, especially for a game like this, especially for Ubisoft. I would say most companies at this point in the process would just shit it out. Maybe almost all companies actually at this point in the process would probably just shit it out to hopefully start rolling in the money. but I guess of all the options, this might actually be a favorable decision. Whether or not this game will ever come out is kind of to be determined, but between the vague answers we're getting and how, you know, the experience that we got when we played it, this is kind of a puzzling thing coming out today when I saw this on Twitter. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's probably, they probably weren't too hesitant to pull the release date or say it's going to be indefinitely just because it's so packed right now and everything's coming out. But they get much past first quarter of next year and I'm going to be like, okay, now what the hell is happening? Because it was like, I don't know that it has the legs to last for years and years and years, like a Call of Duty or something like that. But it definitely would have been a hit for, you know, 6 months or more. And the way that they're pumping these live service games out, I feel like,
is 6 months of large profit? I don't want to say that's the new lifespan for a game, but some of these live service games, like, I swear to God, I think some of these board meetings, I think they go in saying, like, this is our risk reward. If we make X amount of money in 8 months and then we shut the servers down in 10 months, we would be okay with that. Like, those conversations are happening. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll see next year. Part of me would not be surprised at all if this game never came out, but maybe I'm just being a little pessimistic here. I don't want that to happen because I feel like there was some potential there, not that it was reinventing the wheel at all in any way, but we could use for more competition in the first person Call of Duty-esque genre, because, you know, I've expressed my disdain for some of the more recent business practices. So,
yeah. Well, Brandon, it's about that time we move into what we've been playing. But before we do that, Daddy Diwali popped in and said, "This is crazy. Seeing Brandon for the first time with that glorious beard is not the person I envisioned talking to me for the past couple of years." I think that's a good thing, Brandon.
I think so.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing that your voice doesn't match? I don't know. I don't know what that means. Nonetheless, let's talk about what we've been playing. Brandon, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, so I've been kind of all over the board this week. I want to mention two of the things that I played last week because I completely forgot about them. I did try out Liza P. I should have said this last week. I haven't played it in about a week, but it was 2 weeks ago now that I did play it. Overall, I feel like this game is super duper quality in so many ways. I don't think that it will stick around for me. There's something about it that I don't love. It falls very heavily into the Sekiro type mechanics with dodging and parrying a lot of the time to be the most effective you can be. And that sort of gameplay is my least favorite from playstyle, period, through all games. This is why I had troubles with Sekiro. This is why I never play block characters and parry characters in all the From games like Dark Souls and Elden Ring. I just don't mesh with that sort of gameplay. And I feel like even though this game does scream quality at pretty much every turn, and it even trails its own path, which so many times these Dark Souls-esque games kind of fall into a line and don't really do much to innovate the genre in general. But this has some really interesting features with the handle mechanics that I think are really cool. And I love how you can chain combos together, like the light and heavy attacks actually chain in combos, which is something that Dark Souls does not do, Elden Ring as well, that I think is super awesome and makes the combat super fluid and gives you a variety of gameplay. But overall, want to keep playing it, and it's on Game Pass, so I'll probably try it out a couple more times, but overall not really my type of From game, From-esque game. But I don't want to detract anything from it because I do genuinely feel like some people give it shit needlessly, because I feel like it is probably not even just for me in general. I would say pretty confidently, aside from this and aside from Neo, these are the best and closest stamps of approval that From would give on a game. I would almost bet any money. That, and I'm going to kind of shift gears a little bit. I played the new Saints Row because it was on Game Pass. And it is sad to see Volition go, but I can regretfully say that it was not for a bad reason after playing this. That's really mean. I didn't mean that. But it's really fucking bad, Ben. Don't even try it, guys. The new Saints Row, I tried to play with my dad, and it was so broken after... How long has it been out? Years? A couple years?
Close to 2 years, maybe?
I was getting an insane amount of bugs. The driving is unhinged in a way that I can't even describe to you. And that's the best part about these games, is they are crazy. They're unhinged. But I feel like this game towed the line of wanting to have a more grounded, interesting story like Grand Theft Auto, but also took some of the other things about the series and just shot them through the fucking roof in such a confusing and disjointed way. This game is a fucking nightmare. And I know we've been saying that since launch, but I can tell you confidently that it has not gotten any better. This game is bad. I don't think I ever want to play it again. And I played for like 2 or 3 hours max, probably 2 hours. So sad to see, especially coming from a studio that has such an interesting and long pedigree, you know, making games since the 90s. But yeah, just I guess one bad game away from closing a studio. It's the world we live in. So. And I'm happy to report that my Ubisoft Plus was not for nothing. I talked a couple weeks ago about how I mindlessly subscribed to a month of Ubisoft Plus. And luckily for me, Assassin's Creed Mirage came out in that time frame as well. Overall, I feel like this game is a return to form in many ways. I felt very pleased with the gameplay. But I don't think I want to play an Assassin's Creed game. I don't know. And I hate to naysay all these things, but at this point in the games that I'm playing, like I don't exert myself to keep playing games that I don't enjoy just for the sake of completing them. So I'm going to keep playing it until my Ubisoft Plus runs out. But yeah, for Assassin's Creed fans, I would heavily, heavily recommend this. I think that overall, the moment-to-moment is super fun, and that's when I was having the most fun. But I will say that the story was kind of uninteresting to me in general. Maybe I didn't get far enough yet. I've probably played about 5 or 6 hours, but it just seems kind of on the back burner, which, I don't know. I feel like some of the other stories were pretty good. So, more to report on that soon.
I'm interested to see what Dave thinks whenever he's able to join us. I think he was going to get a chance to play.
Yeah, no, I actually messaged him about it. He was enjoying it quite a bit. Okay. And I don't want my negative feelings on it to persuade anyone negatively. I think this game is really good. I just don't think it's the type of game for me right now. Maybe in a different...
Did you play the early Assassin's Creed games, right?
And I think that maybe at a different time of the year, I would be super interested in playing this. But right now, with so many other things grabbing my attention, like Forza Motorsport, which I have downloaded right now that I've been waiting endlessly for, with, you know, Mortal Kombat still knocking on my door, and, you know, Baldur's Gate here, I just don't really feel motivated. And I don't think that necessarily is a stamp on the game. It's more a problem with me. But lastly, and certainly not least, I've been playing Destiny 2, which I cannot fucking believe I'm uttering these words again. How many times do I have to, you know, endlessly complain about...
I have quit this game probably a dozen times.
This is like, you know, the bad ex-girlfriend or something. It's just, you know, it's not good, but for some reason, I'm back at it again. Yeah, I don't know. I was playing with my soon-to-be father-in-law, and, you know, as much as I've talked about this game poorly, Destiny does things that other first-person shooters can't, and it has some of the better games-as-service elements that are in the industry, plain and simple, and the numbers prove that. Look at the numbers for Destiny 2. They still outnumber some of the newer games, hands down. Yeah, I don't know. It was a lot of fun to get back in. I don't know that I'm going to stick with it, but my biggest complaint with Destiny is the same one I've had for years, and that it wants it to be your only game. And that's the only way that you can be as efficient as you possibly can be. And I guess, yeah, I guess that's the way I want to play games. I guess you don't have to be efficient, but if you want to, how am I trying to say this? If you want to experience everything the game has to offer, you have to put a lot of time into the game. And with the landscape we're in, like I said, with Liza P, like I said, with Assassin's Creed Mirage, I just can't put as much time into one game, especially not this year. So I will say, luckily, my father-in-law is an absolute OG Destiny player and Destiny 2 player. He offered, I did not do this, he offered to help level my character. So I'll be raiding with him later in the week. He leveled two of my characters. He went like the equivalent on two of my characters of like 250 light in 2 days.
Oh, shit.
He is an absolute... He's a legend. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. Oh, like, yeah, you logged dude, in he, and played
he's
your character.
A legend.
Yeah,
he got me ready to raid. So... very appreciative of him. I'm excited to do some raids. Those are my absolute favorite part of Destiny.
Brandon, do you know that I have still... I literally have over, almost 1,000 hours between Destiny 1 and 2.
Dude, you are fucking up.
It's not my fault. Every time Dustin would want to get back into it, I'd be like, okay, and I'd get into it. And by the time I caught up, which would take me like weeks, he was gone. He was done with it. And then you weren't playing for a lot of the time I was playing, and I just never had anybody do it. And I didn't want to play with a bunch of randoms that who knows if they're going to... So I've still... And I've dropped it now for a good 2 years.
Dude, you can raid with
us.
John in the chat right now is one of the guys I'm going to be raiding with, so...
Oh, nice. I'll give it some thought. I'll give it some
thought. You're not doing it, dude. I could tell.
No, you said this weekend, and I don't know.
We're doing
it
tomorrow, actually. But I'm sure we'll be playing again soon.
Yeah. What do I have to buy to be
there? I don't have any of the extra stuff.
I can't. I think the last one I bought was 2 expansions ago, probably. But anyway.
That's all I've been playing. Yeah, it's completely across the board. We're all listening, doing the Nightfall right now. Dude, the entire raid group has been listening to me ramble on like a moron for the better part of an hour. So thank you guys for listening.
Good.
Sorry about the profanities. Nice gentlemen. That's what y'all are.
I've once again, the second train is coming while I'm about to talk about what I've been playing, but that's okay. Gran Turismo 7. I mentioned last week that I started playing GT and... played a lot more this week, and I am at the point now I have finished basically the main story campaign, whatever, just because I wanted to get in, see all the tracks, unlock all the cars that were going to be free essentially to me by doing all the races. And I bumped up my level now. I was on easy, now I'm on the medium level or whatever with the opponent cars. I've never been very good at racing games, and I do have a wheel coming, so that will be that will be fun as well, especially because I want to be able to use it for motorsport as well. But so now I'm ready to start doing some of the other stuff in the game, the actual game, as Dave told me last week. That
Dude, he was
that GT7
he was shaming
is just,
you for the menu books a little bit.
He was a little bit, but that's okay. Do I feel like Jean Martinborough? That's the main character in the movie, right? The guy who the real life guy.
I still haven't seen the movie. Person? I really want to. Yeah, I want to check it out.
It's pretty good. Yeah. So anyway, I'm at the point now where I can get into more stuff, but I wanted to wait till my wheel got here to play some more because I have all sorts of other stuff to play. And of course, as I say, all sorts of other stuff to play, the thing I decided to play is Gotham Knights. And this is a game that I really was excited for. I wanted to play it when it was coming out, but then it came out to piss poor reviews, and I just said, you know, I'm going to hold off for now. It's on Game Pass now, so I downloaded it on the PC. I threw the frame rate counter up just to see. And I'll tell you what, as far as the way this game looks and feels, it's like nearly perfect to me. There is almost no frame drops. It's hitting 60 or above constantly. It's very pretty. Everything looks great. No hitches, no bugs for me, at least. I know that my friend Barry had some bugs, but he was able to reload and get it to go. So... you know, take that with every game's going to have a bug here and there, I guess. But as far as the technical state of the game, it seems to be in a great spot. And hopefully, you know, I don't know what it was like at launch, obviously, other than I saw some people trashing it. But now, a year later, it's in a good spot. And again, I don't want games to get that comeback story because I want them to come out and be good. But it's in a good spot, it seems. As far as the actual gameplay, like, you know, the main story of it is that Batman's dead and you're the Gotham Knights and you're a team of four people. You know, there's Robin and there's Nightwing and there's the red guy that I can't remember his name. I just had it on top of my tongue.
Red Hood?
Batgirl and his, Red Hood. That's it. Thank
the
you.
The color is the in red the name.
I know. Sorry, bro.
Now that I just... What? I just love that you didn't remember that. It's funny.
Yeah, I know, I'm the comic guy too.
Yeah.
But I'm playing as Batgirl, and it's really good. The story is whatever. It's a typical superhero story that you're getting. And basically I'm just going around map clearing. Every night you go out and solve a bunch of crimes, progress the story a little bit, come back, do all your upgrades, talk to Alfred, go out again. And it's very much just like open world checkboxy, but that's exactly what I want. So it's not what I want all the time. It's just what I want right now in between some bigger games that are coming out. Spider-Man 2 is coming out in a little while here. I just came off of some other games. So definitely I'm enjoying it. I've probably got, I don't know, 6 or 7 hours into it. And it's not a game I can see playing. You know, I think you can play it like all four times through with all the different characters. I'm just mainlining one character and playing with Batgirl the whole time. Maybe I guess I could switch up for a night or two to some others, but for right now, I'm just kind of just wanting to play it, just to play it through. So that's pretty much what I've been playing. And that's it. That's pretty much it for the show. I, as usual, if you're here in chat and you want to hang out for a little bit, some of you have asked some other questions that we can get to. We'll stick around for a little bit and just talk with chat and everything. But as far as the actual podcast, the audio listeners go, that's all she wrote. Don't forget to join us over on patreon.com/handsomephantom. Little as a dollar a month. We appreciate you. We appreciate your support over there. And of course, hang out with us in the Discord, not just on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. when we're live on YouTube, but also you can hang out with us at handsomephantom.com/discord and join in and talk to us anytime. We appreciate you guys. And we'll see you next week. The HP Podcast is made possible by our patrons over at patreon.com/handsomephantom. The following patrons are at the $5 level or above: Toby Ryland, Edward Walton, Josh Cummings, Jared, Poot, Boots, Passive Pixels Edwin Castillo, Marie Spays, H-Trons, Nuke Dukem, Derek O, Rainick, Christian Snow, Gravalicious, Benji Bop, and Johnny Waffles.